Business News is the news hotline starring Roy Hodd with Janet Brown, Chris Evatt, and the Dick Roney Quartet. Thank you very much, folks, and welcome to the show. And this week, of course, it's been Derby Week. I've got my own box, you know. So, well, if you don't take something to stand on, you don't see a thing, do you? But, of course, now the nation's in the grip of Jubilee fever, isn't it, eh? Everywhere they've been hanging out their Union Jacks, except at the Scottish National Party Conference, where they've hung up the Union Jock. But in spite of it being Britain's week, there's still been room in the papers for the little stories from abroad. Did you see that over on the continent? They're selling pornographic pound notes. Did you read that with a naked woman on them? Yeah. No, I know what they mean by I promise to pay the bearer. On the... I don't mind, folks. And while we're on the subject, I see Mary Whitehouse has written a new book entitled Whatever Happened to Sex. You see that? Apparently it started out as a note to her husband and she just got carried away. I see that Margaret Trudeau has left her husband, Pierre. Well, rumour has it she never really got over Mick Jagger. She was so heartbroken, in the end she ran off with a sink plunger from Toronto. And back home there's been the strike at Thames Television and the second edition of Rock Follies had to be blacked out. The cast say it's time for somebody to act. Well, I never seem to worry about that. And they've been in the same boat with the National Theatre. Did you see that? The shop steward behind it all used to be an understudy for old Calcutta. Mind you, they didn't say how big the part was, but... I don't know why that made me think of Charlie Williams, but his news this week is that he's going to trace his roots in Barbados. They're all doing it now, you know. Even General Armin's been doing it. He's traced his roots right the way back to a friend of his mother's. And... and in the sporting world, we've heard that Kevin Keegan's getting £90,000 a year to join the Hamburgers. Well, anyone who has to work in a wimpy bar needs all the compensation they can get. But did you see that story about the woman in the hairdresser? She went into some young trendy salon and the assistant said, I'm afraid you're growing old. And she said, well, get a bloody move on this. Then there's a report, oh, tragic, there's a report that Charlie's Angel, Farrah Fawcett Majors, is going bald. Fawcett Majors? Sounds like a load of constipated army officers, doesn't it? Well, it doesn't matter if she does go bald. She can always take off her bra and get a job as a pawnbroker's sign, can't she? Then we've had the news this week that Roger Moore has won his case to have his old love letters cut out of the autobiography of his ex-wife, Dot Squires. Pity, I was looking forward to reading them, wasn't you? He's tried his hand at poetry, too. And here's one of his efforts. You brought tears to my eyes, my love, with that painful last embrace. We kissed, but I missed the mirror, and I fell flat on my face. And now it's time for the Headlines Open Wine, and here's our expert, Lady Summerskill.
Good evening.
Can we have the first caller, please?
Hello.
Mr. Healy.
Yes. I'd like to complain about this fellow who's pretending to be an Arab prince and conning British businessmen out of thousands and thousands and thousands of pounds.
Quite right, Mr. Healy. We can't have people going around doing that sort of thing.
Of course not. That's my job.
Next caller, please.
Hello? Hello, I'm phoning up to complain about the diabolical programs on television. The other night I saw a show with a hideous frog who had the worst singing voice I've ever heard.
You mean Kermit?
No, I mean Charles Aznavour.
Red caller, please.
Hello, Peter Hall here. I am just ringing up to say that we've reached a compromise with the National Theatre Plumbers. From now on, we are doing plays specially adapted to the problems of sanitary workers.
And what works will you be staging in the coming drama season?
Oh, Anton Chekhov's Three Systems, Tom, Stopcock, Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are in the loo.
Any Shakespeare?
Oh, yes, of course. Toilets and Cressida, don't you?
Next caller, please.
Hello there, this, Ibby speaking. No, don't get up. Her Majesty's government has decided to let me into the country and to allow me to stay with a well-known British family.
Do you think you'll enjoy that?
Damn right I will. I'm staying with the family Cray in Parkhurst.
Next caller, please.
Could you help me, please? Do British Rail have half fares for children?
Oh, yes, only under 14, though.
Oh, that's all right. I've only got 12.
Next caller, please.
Hello. My daughter has eaten 2 packets of smoky bacon crisps. And like the Muslim in last week's paper, I've just beaten her.
You've beaten your daughter?
Yes, I've eaten 3 packets.
Next caller, please.
Hello, what?
Good evening. Can you speak up, please? You're very faint.
Yeah, well, that's because I'm phoning from Rome, like.
Oh. Oh, you're there for the European Cup final.
That's right. I'm just phoning to wish me wife a speedy recovery.
Is she in hospital?
No, but she will be tomorrow. She didn't pack me tickets.
Next caller, please.
Good evening.
Mrs. Thatcher, good evening.
Regarding President Amin.
Yes?
I rang him up the other day and told him to calm down and that I am sure we can learn to live together.
And what did he say?
He said, okay, honky, when can you move in?
Next caller, please.
Hello? As a middle-aged spinster, I thought I must wing an object to decent press reports that all women should marry.
Why that?
But look here. I have a dog with snaps. I have a parrot. A fireplace that smokes, and a cat that stays out all night. What the hell do I want a husband for?
Old Harold Wilson still keeps rearing his ugly head, doesn't he? Lady Summerscore says that half the people on his last honours list had in fact been vetted. Oh, I don't know about vetted, they should have been put to sleep, really. Still, trust Harold Wilson. Doubtless at this moment he's preparing to hit back at these monstrous allegations.
Mary, how do you spell genius? Is it 1 J or 2?
I beg your pardon, Harold.
Oh, never mind. No one really inspects signatures, do they? Oh, there we are, Mary. Have you sorted out those old papers of mine yet? I'm sending a letter to the Times. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind.
I'll fetch the key, chest.
I said a piece, Mary, not all of it.
I'll get the key chest with your papers in.
Oh, no, don't bother now. I need someone to check this letter for me. Will you do the honors?
I thought it was the window cleaner's turn to do them this week.
I mean the honors of reading this letter. Oh, never mind, I'll read it. It's to the editor of the Times. Sir, bracket, providing you play your cards right. How do you get it, Mary? Hey, sir?
Beg your pardon, Harold?
No, never mind. We'll skip the satire. The allegation by Lady Summerskill that half my honours list was not approved is the most baseless slander since Jim Callaghan was named Prime Minister. It is, in short, a tissue of lies.
A what?
A tissue, Mary.
Bless you, Harold.
What?
Bless you, Harold?
I'm quite capable of doing that myself, Mary. Where was I? Oh, yes. As you know, sir, I am the most modest of men and have never concealed my faults, either of them. But I assure you I was never dishonest to one member of my government. His name was Eric Throgs, and how I missed him out, I'll never know. You are my obedient servant, etc. Well, what do you think of the letter, Mary?
What letter?
Oh. It's no use. I'll have to get rid of her and buy a hot water bottle. Listen, Mary. I'm talking about this story of Lady Summerfield. Oh, I don't know. To think that she should turn on me like this.
Lady Summerfield, I remember her. She was like one of the family.
That's right, your granddad. Yes. Now she's put this story out, it's turning all my loyal subjects against me. Some of them must think I'm the scum of the earth.
How could they if they've never met you?
Less of that, Mary. I mean, it's all so untrue. I've always been a fair man. Look, I'll prove it to you. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? I always knew that mirror had no taste. Drop it off the Queen's birthday honours list, would you? Oh, yes, another thing. The Queen. The papers are saying now that even the palace cast doubts on my choice of names. A quick phone call will soon sort all this out. Oh, incidentally, Mary, I can't see my pipe cleaner around.
Well, keep us all day off here.
Hello? Your Majesty? Yes, it's Harold here. Oh, very well, thank you. What do you mean you thought I was dead? No, not Harold Macmillan, Harold Wilson. Wilson. W-I-L-S. That's right. Oh, your highness is most comical.
What did she say?
The usual crap about she can't afford any more transfer charge calls. What? What? Yes, I'm sorry. It is a bit difficult understanding someone with a pipe in their mouth. No, I don't mind waiting while you take it out. The fact is, Your Majesty, in view of the recent Summerskill slurs, I was wondering if you could issue some sort of statement to confirm that I wouldn't do anything without your absolute blessing and approval. Oh, you would, Your Majesty. Oh, thank you, Your Majesty. Goodbye, Your Majesty.
Did it work?
Like a charm. Well, that mafia sorted out. I better ring the Queen now.
Here's one. Which doctors in Swaziland are to be given professional status? The medicine men are so happy they're celebrating their own juju jubilee. Well, they've got recognition. They've started giving house calls.
Hey, stop playing them drums. Stop. Anybody in there?
Oh, doctor, thank the Lord you come. I think my husband got hold of the fever.
You think? Don't you know if it's your husband or not? Okay, where is he?
Oh, who is it, Esther?
There you are. Now, what's the matter with you?
Oh, doctor, I suddenly got all hot and shaky. I'm weaker than you.
I know what you got.
What's that, doctor?
You just got an income tax demand. Yeah. I know just how you feel.
Can you do anything, doctor?
I sure can, Esther, baby. Nothing. I shall need a sharp knife, plenty of boiling water, and a large table.
Is your gonna operate?
No, I was gonna have tea.
Can you diagnose the trouble?
Well, I'll call on my ancestors for the answer, Esther. Now, I'll use my magic charm.
What about your black bag?
I ain't speaking to her. You ran away with a group of them white witches.
Warlocks?
I know, that's what she said in the notes. Now stop these clever bantering there, because I need you silent for you.
All right,
here we go. Okay?
Mumbo jumbo, magulambal, umbi gumbi, and all that jazz.
Oh, this is what
Lord is in good. I'll try something else. I'll rattle my pebbles and throw them on the floor. Now that is very interesting.
What?
I got 3 double 6 there.
What does that
say? It says go directly to 5 miles. If you pass the door, collect 200. Never mind, I'll try a very old remedy, my dear. Have you got a fish leg?
No, she always walks like that.
I said an old remedy, not an old joke there. I need the bat wings and the newt tail.
Oh, Sidley, bat wings and the newt tail? What will that make, Doctor?
3 very angry animals, I think. Hey, what you got there?
Well, here you are, Doctor. Oh, Sidley.
Hey, they're very long.
Bat wings and newt tail. Now what do you do?
I mix them with the crushed moss ball.
Well, you can get them yourself. I'm frightened of moss.
Are you sure you're real medicine man?
Sure, I'm real. Don't you have a bone to your nose?
No, I don't wear that now.
Why not?
The neighbor's hyena kept very mean the garden. Now, have you been eating somebody that didn't agree with you?
We ain't cannibals, Doctor. We only eat people made out of soya beans.
Do you think my husband got the evil eye?
He could have. He did give me these 50 looks and this. He's suspicious of me, but he's got to give me his trust.
I don't wear one. You'll have to buy one of your own. Why don't you put yourself into a mesmerized trance?
I'm a witch doctor, not a British rail porter, not it. Now, hush your mouth here and take this potion.
Oh, will it kill the bugs?
It should do. It kills all the cockroaches in our house. Try and get some sleep, and I'll call again tomorrow.
But, Doctor, he's already running a temperature. What if he gets hotter and hotter?
Then ring this emergency number.
Is this your surgery?
No, it's the local fire brigade. Didn't make the papers.
An Irishman who had a glass eye fitted has had a hole drilled through so he can see them.
Roland Byrne, a pantomime villain since 1933, was sacked last night by Basingstoke Empire Theatre. Mr. Byrne commented that he's been pissed off in the job for years. Every woman has her own little haven, which is just home. And for Maggie Thatcher, it's in Chelsea. So over now to Chelsea Barrett. To hear a round or two of mortar fire from the old bazooka herself.
Well, summer draws on, eh? And how smart they look. It is wonderful these bright mornings to get up early and get out the hedge trimmer and cut back a few brambles in the mirror before going out into the garden. But seriously, though, this week I have been making a case against the present honor system. I want to ensure that when I'm Prime Minister, the Tory Party is not a stronghold of patronage and preferment. The good Tory will have his reward in the satisfaction of serving under me. It will be a case of reflected glory, as the Scotsman said when he walked over a moonlit puddle. Now, let me just say a word about President Armin and his proposed visit here, and say how glad I am that the Prime Minister has at last found his voice. It was under his nose all the time. No doubt he was encouraged by the words of Kenneth Callender. And incidentally, I must just say how well I think Kenneth Callender reads the BBC 9 o'clock news. But now, to the Jubilee. As you know, I am a fervent supporter of the monarchy and hope soon to start one of my own. But this royal family have survived many dark hours, difficulties, crises, and disasters. And it is my intention that with me as Prime Minister of a conservative Britain, that they could long continue. Thank you. Good night.
Well, it's the Irish general election coming up soon. In fact, they're already in the fourth week of their three-week campaign. And in the little village of Ballymuton, preparations are well underway. Ah, there you go. Knock it off, lads. Top of the morning to you, Murphy.
Top of the morning.
You'll be pleased to know we've chosen the returning officer for the fourth woman election.
Oh, really?
No, O'Reilly's away on holiday. We've chosen you. So, if you'd care to step inside the polling station, I'll show you around.
All right. But tell me, how will people know that this is the polling station?
Easy, Murphy. Mrs. Shaughnessy's painted a sign above the door. See that?
Oh, yes.
Noiritat Ganilla.
Oh, is that in the Gaelic?
No, the silly woman's got it the wrong way round. Mrs. Shaughnessy! You put it on back to front. Oh, dear. Now, look, I'll explain the procedure to you, Murphy.
Right.
Now, as the voters come in through the door there...
Yes.
You can see it spelled up there, R-O-O-D, right? As the voters come in, they give you their name. And then what do you say?
No thanks, I've already got one.
No. You take their name.
Oh.
And then, look, you give them a ballot paper like this. See? Now, it's got all the candidates' name on. Can you see him there?
I see him, yes.
O'Halloran and his party. Fianna Fáil. O'Casey, Labour Party. O'Brien, Scottish Nationalists, and so on.
I don't think I'll vote.
Why, what's the matter?
No, I don't. I like the look of this teller at the bottom here. Right. Look, Mulligan of Dublin.
That's Mulligan of Dublin, the printer's him. Anyway, look, then the voter takes the paper into the booth.
Into the booth.
And puts a little X against the name of the candidate he admires.
Now, what does he want to give him his autograph for?
Top and first. And remember, democracy relies on one man, one vote.
Oh, yes. But what I don't understand is how we decide which one of us gets to have the one vote.
Top and first.
Mr. McNamara, sir, why do you keep shouting top and first?
Mrs. Shaughnessy is about to nail up some notices.
Oh, given me a headache.
Yes, she's given herself a headache, too. Use a hammer, Mrs. Shaughnessy. Here, she's passed out there. Look.
Ah, well, I don't know who'll win, but I put a bet on all three candidates.
A bet on all three candidates?
I have that.
Why have you done that?
To be sure. And what happens when all the votes are in?
Well, then you stand up in the hall, you see.
Yes.
Then the one who wins demands a recount, see?
I got that, yes.
And when that's all over, you read out all the names and how many votes they got. But remember, Murphy, when you have, don't on any account let on who's won.
Why not, sir?
Because you're terrifying idiot. This is a secret ballot. Well, it's not just the National Theatre in trouble. It's the London Palladium as well, where there's also been a walkout this week. Only this time it was the audience. It was during an act by the Frank Baldor Tropicado Show Band, a band with 9 voluptuous Brazilian dancers. But even so, they were sacked after only one night. Hee-haw!
With the Tropicado Show Band from sunny Brazil, it's the London Palladium with time to fill. And busty dancers, everything we're the top. Thus the audience considers we're the biggest of flop. Yeah! Before 9 skippy dancers, the feast for the eyes. An act which the management were trying on for size. They rise and they're bigger, but it's all for flat.
We can legalize you that.
And then 9 lovely dancers, we're quite a pretty sight. In every way for bouncers, it was quite a busy night. The bouncers on the stage were made of flesh and skin. But the bouncers on the door were trying to draw the people in.
Who's this keeping
up here?
I've just swallowed my maracas.
All right, there's no need to get rattled. 13, 14, they gave us one performance, and then said, you're through. They said,
pack your dresses, girl.
And they all said,
we do.
So if you want to song and dance, that we can tell you where. Try the National Theatre, there's a better show down there.
That was the news hotline starring Roy Hunt with Janet Brown, Chris Emmett, and the Nick Rowley Quartet. The script was written by David Renwick and Peter Spence with Andy Hamilton and Laurie Rowley. Additional material by Keith Hornsby, Peter Long, Colin Elliott, Graham Dick and David Day, Kenneth Rock and Philip Mullen.
All of whom have bought a £15 lunch for our producer,
Don Lloyd.